Our reading from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations. His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to His name. Bring an offering, come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. It will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the seas resound, and let all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and people in His faithfulness.
Father God, we thank You so much for this opportunity that we can come together. Lord, we do not know the exact date of our Savior's birth, but we take this time to celebrate it. We know that You came to earth to save us. You are the offering, the only offering that would do. Lord, as we come together and we sing praises and we speak Your word, we honor You for Your willingness and Your sacrifice and Your love. For that's what Christmas is about. The love that You shared for us, Your willingness to die, and it is that we come together, and we are Your family and Your children, and we are thankful for that. So, Lord, let this day be a true blessing to You as we celebrate the love and family that You created. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
I'll be reading Matthew 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is oftentimes referred to as Mary's song. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
I'll be reading from Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I'll also be reading from Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophets have written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented them, presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
We're saving money on air conditioning today, for those of you wondering. I feel like it's appropriate to say Mele Kaliki Maka. I got that last night as a Merry Christmas from one of my friends who was over in Hawaii for the bowl game. They sent me a picture of the statue, Mele Kaliki Maka. I told them I was jealous, but I really wasn't. I'd rather be in Tennessee. I'd like to go to Hawaii, but not for Christmas. Not the place. Thinking back over the year, and we'll talk next week, the Lord wills. We'll have a service, or we'll meet at 10 o'clock next week like we've done today. We'll not have class on New Year's Day. And so we'll look forward to the new year. But I wanted to just think back today for a moment as I was thinking about Christmas and just going through a list of folks to wish them Merry Christmas and to think about the list of people that just seemed to me needed special prayers was extremely long this year. Quite a lot of sickness and a lot of death over this past year. And the holidays make that just make that a little tougher, I think, for all of us. And so I was very thoughtful of that because over the last few years, we have lost lots of our loved ones. And I'm just not surprised. Let me explain that. I've been here now more years than I want to think about. And it seems like every year we lose more people than we should. And very often they are younger than they ought to be. If you'll just think back through folks that we've lost in their 20s, 30s, 40s, teens, it just is a part of life, and I'm beginning to understand that. But it makes the story of Jesus coming all the more precious. And that's what I want us to think about, because our existence here is at its best difficult. At its best, it is difficult for all kinds of reasons. Just almost everything we attempt here is difficult. And were it not for the grace of God and His strength, we just wouldn't make it. That's the fact of the matter. Without the help of the Spirit, we could not be pleasing to God. Without God's blessings, it would be difficult for us just to provide for ourselves, issues of health and all kind of things. But God is benevolent to us in the midst of all of our struggles. He does make them better. But this thought, this promise, this message that comes to Mary and to the shepherds and that the wise men understood of the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah. Now, it certainly meant something different to the Jewish people at the time, but let's be fair about that, because sometimes we look and say, how did you miss the purpose of Jesus? Well, it wasn't that difficult, and we miss so many things. And it's like when you see it, it just becomes really clear, right? But until you see it, it is a great mystery, even the most simple of things. I think about how simple oil bottles are today. You just unscrew the top on the bottle and you pour it in. And if you want to save some of it, what do? Screw the top back on it, right? What's difficult about that? What's fantastic about that? But for those of us who have stood over that oil can and popped that spout in it and it spilled all over and get on you and the side crumple, and we thought that was the greatest thing ever, right? But you think, how simple is that? Why didn't somebody think about it years before they did instead of putting it in those cans? And some of you will never. And then there was a while there that the spout fit over the top of the can so it wouldn't leak. You know, instead of just going in the side, it fit all the way over it. So that was better. And you say, what does that have to do with her? Until you see something better, you don't know any difference, right? And then when you see it, you say, oh, why didn't I know? Well, those people were oppressed. They were dissatisfied with where they were. They were oppressed by the secular Romans who they didn't like the oppression, as none of us would. They didn't like being overtaken. They certainly didn't like the paganism of the Romans. And so they were looking for a deliverer. But look at what the coming of Jesus did for us. He didn't deliver us from the Romans or the Russians or the fascists or whatever, you fill in the blanks, who we need deliverance from. Jesus came to deliver us from sin and death. From sin and death. All these other things, while they seem important at the time, can tear to the deliverance from sin and death and eternal separation from God. He came with the greatest of gifts, did he not? And his kingdom will never end. You know, kingdoms rise and fall. They always have. And so, you know, there's discussion, how long will the American experiment last? Because as the way that empires go and kingdoms, we're still in diapers. We're just over 200 years old. We're still in diapers. As you think about Rome, really began about 500 BC and lasted till almost 14. It was 1451 when Constantinople fell. And so at the time of Jesus, it was still relatively young. And we think about the Greeks, the Babylonians, the Persians, all of those groups, the Egyptians that have come and gone. But the kingdom of Jesus will never fail. And what is that kingdom about? Well, John sees and gets to share with us, doesn't he? In the Revelation, we often don't think about that as part of the Christmas story. But John sees the fulfillment, the full fulfillment of the promise. When we are in the midst of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, where all of these former things will have passed away, where death and sin and pain and struggle and strife are all gone, and we're with God Himself, and He will wipe the very tears from our eyes. How great that day will be. And it won't just be a day, it will last for all of eternity. Our lives here are just a mist, are just a vapor, and then they are gone. But we'll be with God for all eternity. And Jesus came, the Messiah, to deliver us, who gave His life as a sacrifice, who came as a man and showed us how God lives, and then paid the price that you and I might have life abundantly and eternal. So we should praise God, because the gift is too great to even contemplate. It's too great to grasp. It's just too great to grasp. I've shared with you before. I'll share it one more time as we close. One of my favorite Christmas songs, and it really makes me sad and will normally bring me to tears when I hear it, especially when it's done well, is the song, The Little Drummer Boy. I like that song. But I like this line because it is true. It is the truth for all of us. We have no gift to bring that's fit to give the King. There's nothing that we have attained, no skill, no talent, no wealth that any of us have that is gift enough to bring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But God sent His Son, and the gift that He calls for is for our repentant and faithful and obedient heart to Him. That's the gift. And for those who will come, we earn the right to eternal life. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.